ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतम् करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं साम्बा ध्यानावस्थिततग्रतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणः देवाय तस्मै नमः, देवाय तस्मै नमः,
ॐ श्री
श्रीगणेशाय
गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
Hariom. Today we'll have a short class, half an hour, because then we will go at 11:30 in the hall for Ganesh Puja and Visarjan. The children have made Ganeshas, so we will do the Visarjan. So in the fourth chapter, we are on shloka number 33. If you don't have the book, you can follow on your phone. And chapter 4, shloka 33, where Bhagwan is talking about the various yagnas. Last week we had talked about the various yagnas, the various sacrifices. But yagna is not only sacrificing in the fire, but Bhagwan says that any activity which is done for self-improvement or for the benefit of society can be a yagna. So, when we do any activity to help others, or when we live our own life in self-control, controlling the mind, the senses, the organs of action, controlling speech, controlling diet, all that can be a yagna. And even eating can be a yagna, where we have seen that Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Brahman is the offering, Brahman is the fire, Brahman is the yajman. So here, Brahman is the food. And the one who has prepared the food is Brahman. The one who is eating is Brahman. And the one who is being offered within me is also Brahman. So every activity can become an offering to Bhagwan. And then we had talked about swadhyaya, study, self-study, obtaining knowledge. All that is Brahman. All that is can be a yajna. Now today Bhagwan is going to talk about a very important yajna called Gyana Yajna. the offering of ignorance into the fire of knowledge. That's what he's calling Gyana Yajna. So we'll chant shloka number 33. You can repeat after me, please. Shreyan Dravyamayat Yajnat.
Shreyan Dravyamayat Yajnat.
Gyana Yajna Parantapa.
Gyana Yajna Parantapa.
Sarvam karma khilam partha.
Sarva karma khilam partha.
Jnane parisamapyate.
Jnane parisamapyate.
Together. Shreyan dravyamayat yajna. Jnana yajna parantapa. Sarvam karma khilam partha. So Shreyam Dravya Mayat Yajnat. So Dravya means offering materials into the fire. So that is a yajna where you offer it and offer it and invoke the Lord's blessing. But Shreyam, but superior to that, Shreya is a beautiful word which means which is good for me, good for all, at all times. That is Shreya. Then there is Preya. Preya means what is pleasing. You know, Kathopanishad talks about it. Preya is what pleases me. Shreya is which is good. Preya is again temporary. Something pleases me today, may not please me tomorrow. But Shreya is what is good at all times, for all people. So he says, better than offering materials in the fire, Jnana Yajna, oh Parantapa. Parantapa was one of Arjuna's names. Parantapa means scorcher of enemies. Whenever enemies heard that Arjuna is going to be in the battle, they said, Bas, aaj apna din nahi hai. Today we'll be gone. So they used to be just afraid hearing his name, you know, the warriors who opposed him. So he says, oh Arjuna, who you are so powerful, you have all your enemies are afraid of you. But today, your battle is with your mind. And so through knowledge, I will help you with that. So he says, Jnana Yajna is superior to offering Dravya in the fire. And we'll talk about what is Jnana Yajna. So he says, and what is the glory of Jnana Yajna? Sarvam karma akhilam partha, all karmas at all times. Oh, partha, oh, Arjuna was another his name. Jnane parisamapyate, in jnanam, they all end. So we see that in this chart, dravya, as we mentioned, is offering materials into the fire. You know, when we offer havan samagri or all those things, wood and all. So that is offered in the fire for a higher purpose. It could be the yajna, could be for, you know, for my house, I'm building a new house or a new business. Or a yajna can be where the whole community gets together and, you know, does offerings for the entire community. But as we had seen, every activity can become a yajna if it is offered to the Lord, including eating, and I'm offering it to Bhagwan, all activities. So here he says, Jnana Yajna is superior. What is Jnana Yajna? So Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda used to call his Gita lectures Jnana Yajna, you know, and then he would say Gita Jnana Yajna, whatever seventh chapter, eighth chapter, whatever chapter was being done. I remember seeing those posters because my mother used to take me to those, you know, beautiful pandals they would create in Shivaji Park, you know, huge ones, or in Chapati and Bombay. And he would be doing the lectures. So he called them Gita Jnana Yajna. What he meant is our ignorance you offer in the fire of knowledge. So when you are hearing this knowledge from Puja Gurudev or a teacher, then our ignorance gets lost. So the offering of ignorance into the fire of knowledge. And how about actions? So they say actions also can become a yajna when they are offered to the Lord. But here they say that actions end in jnanam. Sarva karma khilam partha jnane parisamapyate. So what do we mean by actions end in knowledge? So we'll talk about that. To understand that, there is a technical term called Purush Tantra and Vastu Tantra. So this is a Sanskrit term for learning and for activity. So Purush Tantra is like, do I come to this class or do I stay home and watch football? You know, that is my choice. Having come to this class, do I listen or do I doze off or does my mind wander? That is Purush Tantra. When I came to the US, which state should I settle? What profession? What job? What should I do? That is all Purush Tantra. And what is, so that depends on me, on the individual, how they live their life. Vastu Tantra means to know something as it is. So if I want to know the nature of fire, fire is heat and light. You can't say, oh, I'm going to know fire as cold. You can't. Because fire's nature depends on fire, doesn't depend on any person who learns about fire will learn that touch your, put your finger, you will get burnt. So that is Vastu Tantra that depends on fire. So same way the Atma, the self or the consciousness. So here in this BMI chart, body, mind, and intellect are my equipment. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas or my desires. And Om represents God, self, consciousness. You can call it Lord Shiva, Shri Krishna, whoever. Or Om, the total Brahman, the consciousness, all pervading. And that is the self. That is my true nature. That is who I really am. That's what the entire Bhagavad Gita focuses on. Because that's the message of the Upanishads, that body, mind, and intellect, we think I am that, but that is your equipment. And perceiver, feeler, thinker is the ego, what I think myself to be. But in reality, we all are that Om, that consciousness, that is our true nature. So I cannot say that I want to know Om as something else. No, Om is yourself. You are that. And that is not only me, but everyone is that. Everyone, all the beings are that consciousness. Even inanimate objects are Bhagwan, whether it's a chair, whether it's a, that's why they say even your possessions, you should treat them well. I think I had told this story one time. I'll just tell it again. There was this great monk, you know, Buddhist monk. He was sitting in his room, you know, very calmly. And suddenly this man runs in. And he runs into the room and he throws one slipper one side, one slipper other side. He has to take off his shoes. Then he bows down to the master and says, Master, I am here. I walked 10 miles to come to you. And I'm so agitated. I'm searching for peace. I'm searching for calmness. Please guide me. Master, he bows down. Shastang Namaskar. So master says, get out of here. Get out. I came asking for peace. He says, you know, these shoes that brought you for 10 miles, you're throwing them here and there. If you don't have respect for your own things, how will you get the highest knowledge? So the point is that in Bhagwan, everything is there. Everything is there. That's how we have to look at the world. And ignorance, not knowing that I am that consciousness, I think myself to be this body, mind, intellect. I think myself to be incomplete. So I look for happiness in objects, in things, in people. That's why they say avidya kama karma. Because I have ignorance, I do not know my true nature, I get kama, I get desires, and then I do actions to fulfill my desires. And when I'm doing actions just to fulfill my desires, I'm acting like the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. I'm not acting as consciousness. So I think I am incomplete. I am finite. I am limited. And I am looking for happiness in objects. And I think that by fulfilling my desires, I will get happiness. You ask a couple, you know, who get up early in the morning and they, you know, they get their children ready for school, send them to school, then whole day both of them are working. They come home in the evening, then they have to cook, do the housework, and then, you know, take the children to all the activities, teach them, study with them. What? So they say, why are you doing all this? And then by 10 o'clock, 10:30, they are so tired, they put their head on the pillow and they are gone till 5, 6 in the morning. So they say, why are you doing it? They say, we are doing it for happiness of ours, for the happiness of the children, for happiness of the family. But anything that is done with the ego, with I, me, and my, for ours, that is temporary. Anything that we acquire in this world, any, the greatest happiness you get is temporary. You become president. After 4 years, you are just a resident, you know. You become a multimillionaire, but you never know when the business will go down, when, you know. So even our body, we are so proud of our looks, our clothes, all that, but eventually everything will go away. Nothing is going to be permanent. So only thing permanent is Om, it's Bhagwan, it's consciousness. So if I understand that I am that Atma, I am that consciousness, then my happiness will become permanent bliss because I'm all the time connected with Bhagwan. That's even today in our meditation, we practice that, how to connect your mind with Bhagwan. We do have meditation 10:20, 10:50. So today we meditated on the form of Bhagwan Sri Krishna and how to connect that with the self within, with myself. So, knowing I am finite, I am limited, and with ignorance, when I do actions, I desire. So, avidya, kama, desire, and then I do karma, that will give me temporary happiness. So, all the masters say, ultimately, the final happiness is within you. That is who you really are. And then in the world, we want to know three things, Jiva, Jagata, and Ishvara. Jiva is I, Jagat is this whole world, not only the earth, visible world, but space, heaven, hell, that is all Jagat, and Ishvara is the creator. So how do we know? We think that by books or by material objects, we can know by telescope and all. But you cannot know heaven, you cannot know God. Only way to know Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara is by scriptures, by Bhagavad Gita, by studying the Upanishads. Then you will know who I really am. I, the perceiver, feeler and thinker. I am Om. This Jagat is nothing but that Bhagwan appearing in all of, in his glory. Everything is God. So then we have respect for all. And Ishvara, of course, is the creator, the sustainer, the solver of this entire universe, which we call as Brahmaji, Vishnu Bhagwan, and Lord Shiva. And only way to know them is to study the scriptures. And in the scriptures, they say there are prasthantrayi. Those are the three most important scriptures. In Vedanta, prasthantrayi, three. One is the Upanishads, all the 108 Upanishads. Second is Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Upanishads. And the third is Brahma Sutras. So Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutras. Brahma Sutras were composed by Vedvyasji, where he got selected topics, but in brief sutras, in very brief forms, he kind of got the highest knowledge of all the Upanishads. And it is a very advanced text. To study Brahma Sutras, you have to have studied some Upanishads because he keeps quoting and connecting. So with these three, you can know one. You can know this world and you can know who I am. Then in Srimad Bhagavat, there is a saying in the first canto, Jivasya Prayojana. What is the purpose of my birth? What is the real reason? And we think purpose of birth is okay, grow up, study, get married, have children, earn a lot of money, live a comfortable life, children go to college, get old and perish. But even animals or birds do that. They also live that way, take care of their children and die. The real prayojanam of my life is to know who I am, to know the consciousness, know that my true nature. And Raman Maharishiji used to ask very beautifully, you know, so somebody would come, Maharaj, I have this problem. So he says, okay, this problem, who has the problem? I. So he says, who are you? He says, well, I am, you know, Ramakrishnan, I am Suresh Kumar. He says, no, who are you really? This is your name. He said, well, I'm a South Indian, I'm a North Indian. He said, that's your nationality. I'm a male or female, that's your body. I'm educated, uneducated, that's your intellect. Who are you really? So he used to take them all to who they are, and his whole teaching, Raman Maharishi's in brief, used to be, who am I? And when I'm working or when I'm acquiring things, for whom am I doing it? Not for the jiva, but for the highest knowledge. So even when I'm working in the world or doing, taking care of my family or doing all my daily duties, I should remember constantly that the one I am taking care of is God. The one I who is working is God. And so all activities I'm doing for that, to reach that highest. So then every activity becomes a yajna, as we said in the beginning today. Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that every activity can become an offering if you offer it to God, even when I'm doing the dishes or when I'm vacuuming the floor, instead of saying, oh, why do I have to do the dishes? No. Bhagwan is there in this house. I'm cleaning the house for him. You know, the food I'm offering to my children, you know, or my guests or whoever, God is there. So every activity can become a yajna, can become a prayer, instead of saying, you know, oh, I have to do all the work. No, it's okay. I'm doing it for God, I'm not doing it for anybody else. When somebody's teaching, you know, all my students are Bhagwan, you know, for a school teacher, when she sees all the little children, they'll say, these are all little Bal Gopals, you know, of Bhagwan Sri Krishna. Or a businessman, when he's, you know, making products for the masses, one, he can say, oh, I'm making so I can make the maximum profit at maximum time. But Gurudev said that maximum service for maximum people at maximum time. So to give maximum happiness to maximum people for maximum time is the motto of Chinmaya Mission, that my purpose in this life is to make others happy and serve others. In that, they say, well, who will take care of me? When a businessman is taking care of his customers, automatically his business will grow. If a doctor treats his or her patients well, more patients will come. So your work will increase if you offer it. So that's why they say shift from jiva to atma. Atma is Om, this consciousness. So they say, what do we mean by karmas? We'll end. I'll just end with that particular point. So it says karmas, as we said, are done out of ignorance for me, myself, and I. But a wise person, a realized master, an enlightened master like Swami Chinmayananda ji or Shankaracharya ji or Raman Maharishi, when they work in the world, they don't work for themselves. They absolutely. So every activity that comes out from them is a spontaneous outpouring of love for all of us. That's why Swami Chinmayananda wrote all those commentaries and traveled throughout the world to establish Chinmaya Mission, and then his followers, Swami Tejomayananda ji, Swami Swarupananda ji, his students are now running the mission, and there's more than 300 such centers throughout the world, And there was one individual who decided that he wants to spread this knowledge, Puja Gurudev, and it is because of his. So when they work, the karmas do not bind them. They do not get any ownership or doership. Everything is offering to Bhagwan. And so then no karma binds them. So they are actually going beyond karma phalas. See, you and I, when we do a particular action, if we do it for myself as an ego, then that action binds me. And the more I do actions selfishly, the more I get bound. But if I do actions for others and share with others, share my knowledge, share my wealth, share my time, then those actions become yajna. Those actions do not bind. So that's why he says, sarva karma akhilam partha. He says, all karmas end in knowledge. What he means is one who has this knowledge has no doership. And if he has no doership, there is no enjoyership, so he doesn't get bound. So here Bhagwan is saying that the offering of knowledge, offering of ignorance in knowledge is the highest. And that is what we are doing even today. We are together studying the, you know, Bhagavad Gita, so that our ignorance should be offered in this fire of knowledge. And for that we are grateful to Swami Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya ji, and all the other Mahatmas who came before, who gave us this knowledge. We have 2 or 3 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything you would like to add. On Zoom also, if there is anybody. Anybody has question on Zoom or in person? Yeah, Kerry, you can unmute. Yeah, there.
Okay, not again. I just wondered, could you explain briefly what Tantra means?
Oh yeah, Tantra means what is important. Purusha Tantra or Vastu Tantra. Tantra means what is important. Either Purusha can be I, or it can be the object. Like I, if I want to know, if I want to do a particular job, I do it the way I like. Like I said, I have a choice whether to study Sanskrit or English, whether to go to the class or not. But once I go to the class, then the knowledge, then it doesn't depend on me, then depends on the object. Like the nature of fire is hot. I don't get to choose that. Or the nature of the self, Brahman. So that depends on the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita. So Tantra means what is important, whether it is Purush or Vastu, like that.
So Purusha is like free will.
Yes.
And Vastu is more like the universal laws.
Yeah, universal laws. What I cannot say, I don't believe in gravity and I jump from the third floor. You know, because gravity will take it, whether you believe it or not. So that is not Purush Tantra. Law of gravity is Vastu Tantra. Depends on that.
Thank you.
Om is Brahman. Om is Brahman. Om is called Shabda Brahma. So by chanting Om, otherwise we just say Om, Om, Om. It's not like that. Om is represents the Supreme Consciousness. And here it is just present in, it is present everywhere, but here it is manifesting in the individual BMI, and the OET is the universe, the world, objects, emotions, and thought. Yes, Om is one of the names of Brahman. Otherwise, Brahman cannot be defined, cannot be described. So when you're chanting Om, it should be done with humility and with surrender. Yes. Any other questions, comments? I think we don't have time for summary. You have, we can do it in a minute. Three. We can, yeah, we'll end here. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchit Dukha Bhag Bhave. Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya, तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू हरि ओम